temptation will make you miserable. All eyes on the golden girl. She's gonna tell you, gonna tell you, gonna tell you that you're too sweet. Swan dive to the concrete floor. The pavement never felt so warm. One look and you already know. She's gonna cut you, gonna cut you, gonna cut you, cut you real deep. Drive you home at the end of the night. Dead last was a drama queen, but I found myself in the front seat of her car. She's bad blood royalty, but that's fine. Yeah, that's alright with me.
Thank you. This is Andrew Haudigy, Program Director at 90.7 The Capstone, and you're listening to WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Friday, so you already know what that means. Student section. Man, I mean, hands in the air.
Hands in the air. I mean, I know you guys, I mean, I can hear you all the way from here. You're like, when can we hear from JD and Devin again? But don't worry, guys, we're back.
Yep, we are back. The boys are back in town, as we have stated. It's Devin Hughes and JD Kasai. JD, how have you been?
Man, Devin, I've been, I'm not going to lie, the late semester, I guess senioritis has carried over from high school. I'm having a little freshmanitis right now. Just can't wait for summer, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm going through the ringer. I had probably the busiest week I've ever had in my whole academic life. Mm. Just so much to do, getting more involved in school. It takes a lot. Like, it's just a serious business. This is when you get up in college, you realize, oh, man, this isn't in the game anymore.
That's right.
So, hey. Enjoy freshman year while it lasts.
Why, thank you, yes.
Yes, but we're finally back, guys. Man, it's just, ooh, man, feels so good. So let's get into some action that we unfortunately missed out on was March Madness.
That's
JD,
right.
How you feel about the tournament? How everything that went on?
Well, I mean, Alabama, I'm going to be quite honest, did better than I thought, to be honest, especially with no Aiden Holloway. I picked them to lose to Texas Tech, I'm not going to lie, in the bracket. So they proved me wrong. Glad they did. I will gladly eat my words any day of the week if it means Alabama's going to the Sweet 16. And that first half against Michigan, dude, I was like, oh, man, oh, here yeah. we go. We got this. But, yeah, second half, different story. So
yeah. Unfortunately, I had the same vision as you at Alabama. I didn't think we were going to beat Texas Tech. But, man, oh, man, did they put up a clinic and shut me up real fast. But, like, I feel like I said this. It was going to be another repeat situation with the BYU.
That's right.
Then the next game. I mean, last year it was Duke. I guess this year you could say it was Michigan. So, but it's just Michigan, man. I can't stand them. Hate losing to them. Yeah. It's the worst feeling in the world. One of those teams where I just wish we could just beat on all the time. But
do you feel better that they won the whole thing? Does that make losing better? Or is it like you just hate them so much?
Michigan, like if it was on some other team, I'd be all right. But Michigan, I just can't stand Michigan. I'm sorry. I just can't. It's not palatable for me.
Real.
But, I mean, one team I would say really surprised me was Texas.
Yeah.
I didn't think they'd make it that far. I know they got beat by Purdue, and they almost beat them, by the way.
That's correct.
But, man, oh, man, I thought they really ruined my bracket, Texas. It's not a nice sight to see. But how'd your bracket end up?
Well, I had Miami, Ohio in the Sweet 16.
Really?
Because I was a believer, not going to lie. And I should have listened to Bruce Pearl. Which actually, I somehow ended up finishing second in like every group I was in. Like after week one, I was like, all right, this bracket's done. I stopped checking it. And then I was at church Tuesday night, and they were like, all right, my buddy Jay Collins won. Shout out to Jay, won our little church. And they're like, yeah, and JD, you finished second. I was like, whoa, are you serious? Wow. So apparently not the worst bracket I've made in my life. But yeah. How about yours bracket?
It wasn't the worst, but far from the best. It was pretty mediocre, in my opinion. You know, my secondary bracket was actually better than my main bracket. Because I make a little second one just for fun.
That's
and obviously, got to make me Alabama bracket. You know, I got to have one with us winning. But fortunately, did not plan out anything that stood out to you during this whole March Madness.
I mean, besides Michigan just really kind of dominating the whole way. Like, I think the most shocking game to me was probably the Michigan-Arizona game. I was expecting that to be a wire-to-wire. Like, we're talking game of the century.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, whenever Christian Leitner had that, like, Kentucky Duke-level game.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't at all. Like, Michigan just steamrolled them. It was pretty ugly. I actually turned it off, went to bed early. I didn't even watch the second half.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, it was – but I'm – trying to think of anything else really, really surprising. I tell you what, the Kentucky Santa Clara game. That might have been the game of the tournament.
Lucky. Really?
I mean, it was pretty
it was
good.
Up there.
Up there for sure.
It's very interesting. So, on top of basketball, you know, we got to talk about Aiden Holloway, his whole situation.
Yeah, man.
So, he was able to travel with the team to Illinois with. Was playing in Chicago, right?
That's
Chicago.
Right. Yeah,
playing Chicago. But I mean, how do you feel about the whole Aiden Holloway situation? Do you think he's gonna get off scot free because they're gonna have his indictment real soon?
That's right. They were supposed to have a preliminary hearing on April 14th, and they like skipped that because they just already straight up indicted him. But I mean, I don't think he should get off scot free because I mean, you got 2.1 pounds of the devil's lettuce out here. You're probably not using that all for yourself. You're probably running that.
Yeah.
I mean, they've
wheeling
got
and pretty, dealing,
wheeling and dealing. Yeah, I mean, like every good point guard does, he's sharing the rock. But I mean, hopefully, I mean, everybody makes mistakes, and I think Nate Oates gave a really good answer when he's like, "We're not gonna abandon him like when he needs us the most." So I hope that they can get all the legal troubles sorted out and that Aiden can bounce back and play for the Tide next year, because I would love to see him play for Bama again. But yeah, what do you think?
I mean, it's just you don't like to see this from your team.
Yeah.
And of course, everyone, just because it's Alabama, they're gonna love to clown us.
Exactly.
So all the other teams will be like, oh, your port guard's a criminal, when I'm not gonna get ahead of myself. But yeah. It's an unfortunate situation. We do live in the state of Alabama, so it is a big deal. But, I mean, come on. Let's not, media-wise, like, just point the finger, oh, you're bad. Like, no. Like, just, he did something stupid. He played stupid games and won a stupid prize. That's all it is. I mean, I'd love for him to come back. We need a guard.
That's right.
But, I mean, it's just interesting to see, man. Just something would happen to Alabama.
At least we're not Georgia. That's all I can say.
Yeah,
at this point.
At least we're not Georgia.
I saw one of their basketball guys got a DUI. Like,
a couple days ago. So now it's slipping to basketball?
That's right, yep.
Man, Kirby's, they're putting some in that Athens water, man. It's got to be. But I'm not sure if you've heard, but all the transport portal news.
Yeah.
Bo Bowen's expected to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? We have
Aiden Sherrell is in Indiana.
Yeah.
Right now.
So. That really shocked me. I'm like, what is he doing?
I thought he was going to go to Michigan, being a Michigan native, and they lost pretty much all their centers. So that made sense, but I guess he's going to Indiana. I don't know.
And also Jahlil Bethea. I mean, Jahlil, where do we start with him? Me and my friend, we always clown him.
Mm.
So apparently he's at the rec playing basketball with the folks at the rec, even though he's in the transport portal.
Okay.
Which – I don't know. A common theme I've noticed is that the players that aren't as good, they play basketball in the rec. For what reason, I don't know. I mean, last year we had Shark. You know about Shark?
Yeah.
He was a basketball regular on the courts. Mm. But Jahlil Bethea is just that's a case study right there. It's a real what could have been, because he was fine at Miami, but he came over here and just seemed like anytime I saw me on the bench. He just pouted the whole time. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure because he wanted to be the big dog, but, like, dude, you're behind Aiden Holloway and LeBaron Filon. Honestly, even though he's not the best player, I do feel like Oates does have the talent to train him up. Let him be the next great guard of Alabama. So I am a little disappointed that Jahlil Bethea is gone, but a lot of people I know are really happy that he's leaving. They're saying that he's just taking up some spots. So what do you think about it?
I mean, it just kind of stinks. We kind of have this problem in all college sports now where it's like the guys on the bench aren't sitting around and waiting. They aren't developing. Like, this is why Alabama football was such a dynasty, is because they had five stars on the bench, like the second string, the third string. They were five stars, and they would sit behind these veterans, and they'd learn. I mean, they would spend years in a Nick Saban coach system, and that's how they were able to win, like, so many national championships just – throughout all those years. And I know that's football. I know we're supposed to talk about basketball, but it applies to every sport. Like, if you want to get good, you should stay in a program, especially with a great coach like Nate Oates.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes the grass isn't always greener.
Oh,
on the
yeah,
other
we've
side of the
seen
fence.
That tons of times. Like, the main one is Alabama. I know we're talking about basketball, but I got to talk about football. The wide receivers that end up leaving.
Yes,
they always fall off a cliff. It's so funny
Isaiah
to see.
Isaiah Bond, like, bruh. Come on, man.
But, yeah, as of yesterday, the three transport departures are Jahlil Bethea, Taylor Bo Bowen, and Aiden Sherrell.
That's right.
How do you feel about Nate Oates getting all them guards, though? Because we're getting some guards. I mean, I just want to get your opinion on it
first,
the way his system works.
No, I mean, he obviously needs guys who can shoot the three. I mean, this is what we have said. I think we've said this till we're blue in the face, but if Alabama can't make threes, we're going to lose the game. That's the whole Nate Oates system. Just really, really fast-paced, going to out-hustle you. We're going to get the rebound, sprint down the court, and bang. Get ready. So, I mean, obviously, he needs guards to run the show. We saw that with Filon last year, Holloway, just really excelled. Who are the guards he got in the portal? Again, you mind dropping some of those names?
I'm not sure, but I was talking about some of the high school commits. But
yes. I saw that one guy, yeah. If he stays in the program, develops –
But the guy I'm really excited about is Jackson Richardson, small forward, 6'6", made of muscle 205. He's from Florida. He is from Florida. And I just feel like, because I'm about to get on my spiel. I wish Nate, I like it. It works. I'm not a fan of it. I don't like the fact that we just shoot threes and pray that the defense decides to come out and play. But like the defense, excuse me. Man, I'm so sorry. It's been a minute. I want more bigs on my team, man. Mm-hmm. Like, hopefully this guy, I know he's not the tallest, but we need a big dog, man. We need Cliff back, man.
Cliff, man,
I just want somebody on our team to get some rebounds. Play, be a dirty dog, you know what I mean?
It doesn't even need to be a big man, but like you said, somebody who can just get rebounds.
Yeah, like an Amari Allen type player.
Yeah, which.
Or a Houston Millett.
Yeah, Houston Millett, losing him is going to be big. And also, I've heard Amari Allen may go to the NBA, which.
Yeah, which is.
That would stink.
Yeah, I mean, we just need. It's dog. Well, I, me personally, I think we should get taller centers, not Grants. I mean, he's good. Grant Nelson was great, but it was kind of annoying to see him get slung on the floor half the time.
That's right.
Every time he gets in the paint because he's so skinny. But that's just me. If Coach Oates is listening, don't be afraid to get the big man. We need somebody to go get the paint, get the rebound, play great defense, which is something. Now, that Michigan game, I will say we played great defense that first half. Props to that. I want to see more of that next season. But I feel like it starts with bigger players. But I know it's not the system we run, but I don't know. I'm always going to have my thoughts on that.
That's right. And, I mean, no system will ever be a perfect system. I mean, there's always holes to poke and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But some holes are bigger than others. And like you said, we can't get rebounds. You know,
that's typically the killer of us. Was one game in the Final Four. One game in the tournament where we were getting out-rebounded by, like, 20. It was actually sick. I mean, we ended up winning. I think it was, like, first game we had played. Who did he play against?
Hofstra.
Like, yeah, Hofstra.
Yeah.
We were getting out-rebounded. I mean, it got to a point where, like, we were losing by 15. I'm like, wait a minute. This isn't supposed to be – we are not getting upset right now.
That's right.
But they did clean up their act. But when we come back, we got some more sports coming up, man. JD, aren't you glad to be back?
Oh, you know it, man.
Yeah, we'll be back after the break.
I tell you why, and you don't understand me. Hard as I try, we don't see eye to eye, and you can't understand me. I'm losing my mind trying to figure you out. You hold me so tight, then you don't want me around. You're out late again, and you won't say where you've been, and you don't understand me. Try not to give in, but you get under my skin, pretending you don't understand me. And what do I get trying to figure you out? Your actions don't match the words coming out of your mouth. Ooh, there's got to be some way that we can get better, better, better. People, they get better all the time, and we'd make it okay if we could talk it out together. Baby, we could really take the time. There's got to be some way that we can get better, better, better. We'll relieve some pressure, get it right. There's got to be some way that we can get better, better, better. Better, 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 you and I. You get so high strung, and I come undone, trying to be more understanding. And it's just no fun. Think of what we could become with just a little understanding. If you'd let me in, I bet we'd figure this out. I don't know where to begin. I bet that you could show me. There's got to be some way that we can get better, better, better. People, they get better all the time, and we'd make it okay if we could talk it out together. Baby, we could really take the time. There's got to be some way that we can get better, better, better. To be some way that we can get better, better, better. People, they get better all the time, and we'd make it okay if we could talk it out together. Baby, we could really take the time. There's got to be some way that we can get better, better, better. We'll relieve some pressure, get it right.
There's got to be some way that we can get better, 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 you and I.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with Student Section. You already know who it is, Devin Hughes and J.D. Kasai. J.D., tell me more what's been going on in Alabama athletics.
Well, right now, currently, as we are talking, the Alabama Crimson Tide softball team are up 1-0 against that other team that is located in the state around the Opelika County. That'd be the Auburn Tigers, for those of y'all who don't know. Up 1-0 in the bottom of the fifth, which, man, our softball team's been rolling this year.
Oh, my. This is a great team, man. This is an exciting team to watch. I actually pulled up to one of the softball games. It was a fun one. It was against Oklahoma, too.
Oh.
We beat them. We came back. We were down a couple runs, and all we needed is a 2-run double, and we got our momentum swinging, man. This softball team simply amazing. I know in one poll, we're actually ranked number one. Did you know that?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because I know last week, double-checking, that's right, they went 2-1 in the series against the previously ranked number one team, Texas. And the second and third game, the second game, 11-4 against number one. Now, it was in Tuscaloosa, so home field advantage. But, yeah, these girls are really, really good. Really good.
Yeah. ESPN's USA softball poll, they are ranked number 3. So, I mean, push us up. I mean, if one poll, some other poll, I'm not sure, I believe it was, I don't know which one it was, but I remember seeing somewhere that we were the number one softball team. Like, come on now, at least they're willing to show us love. ESPN?
That's right.
USA softball, come on now, show love.
Come on now. Yeah, 36-3 right now for the Tide. The numbers speak for themselves. That is pretty good.
Exactly. It's the NCAA Women's Softball RPI that ranks us number one.
Ooh, all right.
So thank you for that poll, showing us love. Yeah. Now talk about some baseball, man.
Yeah, let's talk some baseball. Right now, the Tide are up 1-0 against the Arkansas Razorbacks. I mean, now, our baseball team started off conference play pretty rough, swept by Kentucky. But, boy, I tell you what, they have turned it up. I mean, Florida series was great, and then sweeping Auburn.
So sweet. So sweet. Anytime we beat Auburn, I get so happy.
Man, you know it. I mean, and especially when they're ranked like that, because they were in the top five. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know what we're ranked right
now. We are ranked number 8.
Bang. That's what's up.
I just love seeing Alabama be great in everything. Like baseball, who would have thunk?
Yeah.
And this is a squad that, I mean, on the rise. I really feel like we can run for the table for the College World Series.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, we can make a good run, as long as we don't got to play Southern Miss. So, like, one of them teams we always just end up losing to, man. I'm still not letting go of that loss last year, man. Had it in the bag.
Yeah, for sure. I know we got Tyler Faye on the mound tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't get over, his game a little while back. 136 pitch no-hitter against the Gators.
That was outstanding. Mm-hmm. Hearing about that, like, oh man, Bama is back.
That's right, bro.
Like, it'd be me and my friends were talking about it'd be real funny if baseball or softball ends up winning a natty before football or basketball, because we want to see us winning something. He wants to see us win, like, in football, basketball. Like, oh, we'll be in campus. It's like, man, I just want to win.
That's right.
It didn't matter if it's over the summer, in the winter, fall as usual, or spring. Alabama winning is just such a satisfying feeling. And there's another team that won.
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say, this is kind of a perfect transition, because there is an Alabama sports team that won a national championship. Our girls wheelchair basketball team, they beat up on UT Arlington. I think the final score was 55-37.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's only like 4 schools in the country that have the wheelchair basketball, because I was looking at their schedule. I was like, wow, I think I've seen this. Like, they played the same team like 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
But they won the national championship.
Hey, man. Gotta clap it up for them. Yeah. Clap it up for them.
That's their 6th in a row. So they got a little dynasty going on.
That's nice to see.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And the fellas finished 2nd in the country. They lose to Auburn. So
unfortunately.
Tragic.
But, man, I mean, like I said, I just love seeing Alabama win no matter what the sport is, man. Even club sports. You know, actually, this weekend, Alabama Ultimate Team. Shout out to the Ultimate Team.
Ooh.
Man, they're coasting the tournament. Right here tomorrow, It's going to be a chaotic A-Day. That's all I got to say. Yeah. Got that going on, this going on. But, man, shout out to them, my boys, Thomas Gagel, Alexander Brown, and, man, all of them, man.
Man.
Jackson Whitlow, you too. I can't forget you.
Shout out. Who all is coming to the tournament? Do you know? I mean, I assume it's a bunch of schools, right?
Yeah, we've got LSU coming in. I'm assuming Mississippi State, Tulane, those teams. It's a regional tournament.
Yeah.
So if they win, they'll go to sectionals.
Ooh. So. Shout out. Shout out to the Ultimate team.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. Alabama Yellowhammer.
Hey, Ramer Jammer for real.
Oh,
bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I know you mentioned A-Day.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go ahead and talk about that? Because I'm sure that's what everybody in Tuscaloosa is. That's what's on their mind right now.
I think we teased the folks at home listening. We'll get back to we'll get to that after the break. Listening now, listeners, we're back. Student section, man, oh man. And we're going to get to what y'all want to hear about A-Day. JD, how you going A-Day?
Well, I was planning on it. However, I've been scheduled to umpire 6 T-ball games at Kentuck Park Saturday at $30 a game. So that's $180, which, with all due respect to Alabama football, I love the Tide. But however, with the way gas is right now,
oh yeah,
$180 sounds pretty stinking good.
Oh yeah, I mean, dude, I know this isn't a political show, but man, oh man, we got to do something about them gas prices. But back to the Tide, A-Day will be held tomorrow at Bryant-Denny Stadium at 1 p.m. Yep, at 1. Now, this is going to be different than last year, because last year was just a practice. But we're going back to the old scrimmage format. How you feel about that?
I mean, thank the Lord for that, honestly. Because, I mean, it's cool to see them go practice. But, hey, man, it's an A-Day game.
Exactly.
We want to see a game here. And this is the only chance you get to scrimmage in front of, to have an actual game environment. Might as well play an actual game.
But, and it is free.
It's free.
So, for some people, this is the only time they really get to see Alabama play.
That's right.
So, I mean, I'm glad they're finally bringing this back. Hopefully it'll get more people in Bryant Denny, because last year I saw it was pretty sparse.
Very sparse, yeah. But, I mean, the way student tickets are, we were just talking about this a little bit off the air. I mean, this may be the only chance some of us here at the university have to see the Tide, because, I mean, good grief, man.
I know. But as you know, with A-Day comes a very, very interesting quarterback battle. I know we talked about this over time, but let me give you all a little refresher. Austin Mack, Keylon Russell. We've got one guy who's up and coming, very, very highly touted prospect who sat last year. Then we've got Austin Mack, a guy who came with Kalen DeBoer, waiting his turn, and it's his time to step up to the plate. JD, we're going to get to the meat and bones of this. Who do you think should start?
Man, going right for the juggler right here. Come on. Love it. I mean, talk about a guy like Austin Mack. Like you said, he's been with DeBoer. He's been in the system for such a long time. Maybe Keylon Russell is more talented. However, the way Austin Mack looked against Indiana was really good. I feel like we have more of a sample size of Austin Mack. He has more experience than the system, and the talent gap is not that big. So if I'm the coach, I'm siding with the veteran. Maybe if he starts struggling, we can put in Keylon Russell maybe later in the year, but I don't think Austin Mack will. He's waited this long. He came to Washington, or came from Washington, knowing he was going to have to wait. So I think he is ready. I think this is Austin Mack's year. So I would say start Austin Mack. Yeah, there we go. See you, microphone.
Yep. I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, I'm not going to just repeat everything you just said, because, I mean, that's exactly how I feel. Yeah. Austin Mack has waited his turn. It's his time to shine. Now, what I don't understand is, and I know we had Saban when this happened, we've been in this situation before.
That's right.
And surely, at the end of the day, one did leave, one did stay. But honestly, I feel like, I know people are freaking out about it. I don't really think it should be a big worry, because I feel like DeBoer knows what he's doing. This is year three now. I gotta hold myself back. But DeBoer's gonna make the best decision. He's gonna make the best decision.
That's right. He is. And I mean, at the end of the day, everybody has their own opinion. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there's a reason why he's the coach.
Exactly.
And the, like, millions of Alabama fans across the world are not. He knows what's best for the team. And yeah, we will see. And this is not set in stone. Like, Nick Saban changed quarterbacks at halftime of the national championship game. Like,
exactly.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Whatever's best for the team, at the end of the day, what's going to help us win?
Absolutely. I mean, and people, this is me going on another little tangent.
Go on a tangent.
Like, what gets me is people being very doubtful about our team. Like, I talked to my friend. She's a senior. Well, she's going to be a senior next year. She's just like, I don't think our football team is going to be well. I'm just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What you mean? She's like, we just suck now. We're not going good. We're like, no. If we actually look at DeBoer's two seasons, we were better this year than we were last year. Is what I don't understand. Like, why are we losing the faith just because we're not winning that? It's like, it took Saban some years.
It did.
Like, it's all a part of the process. Alabama isn't going anywhere anytime soon. I'm pretty sure the people outside of Tuscaloosa know. And I just want people in Tuscaloosa to know that.
Yeah, like, I mean, now, Saban did win a natty in his third year.
There's that for wishful thinking.
There you go. That's right. Now, I don't think Alabama will ever be as dominant as we were under Saban. I mean, I'm just going to be completely honest. Mm-hmm. I don't see us the way college football is now, I don't think any team will ever be that dominant. Knock on wood. Hopefully, Ohio State has nothing to say about that. But, I mean, you talk about, all right, what I'm about to say is going to make a lot of people upset, but mm-hmm. I don't think there is a pettier group of college football fans than Alabama Crimson Tide fans.
Really?
I mean, if we don't win a national championship, I was like, oh, we suck. We need to fire DeBoer. No, you don't. No, we don't. I mean, talk to an Auburn fan. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they're just happy going to the Birmingham Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, we're not going to win a national championship every year. We've been spoiled. S-P-O-I-L-T, spoilt under Coach Saban. But it's like, hey, welcome to reality.
We're not in dreamland anymore, where Saban is constantly taking us to the natty and winning. We're just like the other schools now. Like, it's a pair, and the way this league is set, well, league, NCAA,
right.
is set up, it's built for parity now. It's anybody's mm-hmm. game. I mean, we've got a team like Vandy, or a school like Vandy, because it's not only football. They went up on basketball, baseball. I didn't think of the baseball.
Right.
But with NIL and all of that, it just so it's just changing the landscape. It really is.
Yeah. Undoubtedly. Now, I mean, I feel like though this current landscape is kind of shifting more towards like it's the Big Ten and the SEC and everybody else. What do you think about that?
Now, with that, the concept of it does seem cool, but it kind of ruins, because I'm a big fundamentalist, you know, big OG guy. Right. I just want to smaller conferences. Mm-hmm. I do like the fact that there's parity and all that, but I just feel like if we just make an ultra mega league, it's going to turn into pretty much like a minor league.
Right.
Like, because if we actually look back in the 70s, FBS, FCS, before that, they were both as one. They split off. Are we really about to do another split off? I don't think that's really necessary. Sure, there's schools with more money, less money, and like teams with schools that just don't care about funding certain sports. So I understand that they want everyone to have their own little section and make kind of like a hierarchy. But what's not happening, I don't see a lot of lateral movement. I just see more of a cross, like a big school guy going to another big school, just hopping. It's not really, it's destroying the structure, because it's not like back in the day where someone like Cam Newton, he went down. He went to Blinn College, then went to Auburn. Nowadays, you're seeing some guy who's on fourth wide receiver on some team go from Michigan to USC to Oregon, getting hurt, going here, there, and being in school for a million years.
Right.
So what do you think about it, though?
I mean, to kind of get towards, like, the serious side, kind of outside of sports, I think this is detrimental to, like, young men, like, growing up, because – dude, you can't hit the transfer portal in life. I mean, whenever you get married and have kids, you can't hit the transfer portal. I mean, you can't just keep doing all that. I mean, because, like, sports are meant to teach you lessons in life. I mean, I'm so thankful for that I was able to play sports in high school, because I learned how to get better at football and track, but I also learned how to persevere through adversity. I learned how to get up whenever I got knocked down. Mm-hmm. I learned how to celebrate the wins, but also get ready for the next play, kind of. And I mean, that's something you're gonna have to do in life. And this kind of whole transfer portal, like when things get hard, when things aren't going my way, I can just leave. That's not a good mindset that we are developing into our young men who are gonna be in society. I'd say young men, like they're literally my age. I'm not any older. I'm probably younger than all those guys. But yeah, that's my soapbox. But,
I mean, I just wish, I mean, we can't, I mean, we can, but we won't go back to the old format of smaller, like making everything to a tier. Now, I know with the college football playoff, they kind of do that, given that 1-12 spot that, you know, to a group of five team, which always ends up not being a group of five team because they end up exceeding expectations. Right. But what I don't understand is that we push, big school, small school, big school, small school. But when you see a small school come up and appear out of nowhere, you root for them all season, but then playoff time comes, it's like, oh, no, you can't come in. Then that's kind of feeding into the why we need to have two different champions, why we need to split the FBS. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, I just what I don't like is the wishy-washiness of fans. Because, I mean, we have teams like JMU.
Yeah.
Like, people were like, oh, we want to see them do well. We want to see them do well. Then they get ranked and got to go against – who did they play against?
Oregon. Yeah.
They switched up on them. Like, oh, no, they don't deserve a spot. Like, whoa. You were just a week ago saying, woo, we want to see them in the playoffs. It'll be real fun. They make it like, oh, no. Like, with stuff like that, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, fans are really fickle. Very, very wishy-washy indeed. But, yeah, we definitely don't need to split up the FBS. Now, I mean, to be realistic, I feel like in a sport like basketball, anybody can beat anybody. Yeah. This past tournament proved that. We had upsets all over the board. Now, football, to be realistic, not anybody can beat anybody. Yeah. Like, if, let's say, JMU did go on a little run, they're not beating the Miamis, the Indianas, the Ohio States. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, people are definitely kind of overreacting with the whole, like, we need to split. Just one thing I love about college football is that it's it's supposed to be so different from the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's where this train of thought was going. But the way we're at it now, it's turning into the NFL junior.
Exactly.
That's a, I mean, it's we have free agency now. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, soon we're. I mean, the way it's headed, it's going to be Big Ten, SEC. Everybody's going to be in that conference, and it's going to be like the AFC and the NFC.
Now, I know, and it's kind of funny because if you go way, way back to the origins of football, it was essentially like that for conference. You had these big ultra 40-team conferences playing in the same thing. So I know I've been saying, oh, let's go back. Let's not go too far back is what we're looking at. I mean, I know I'm a history minor, so I've heard the quote said many times, history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes.
Ooh, come on now.
Yeah, I stole that from Chuck Clark, a great professor. We'll be taking him next semester for World War One.
Ooh, shout out. Shout out Chuck Clark,
Yeah, but man, I mean, I just wish it could just be simple. I mean, I like the fact that, well, I don't, but I do. I have accepted the fact that there's a 12-team playoff. I know there's no going back to two teams, four teams, or maybe, you know, downsizing. But with that, I do feel like if we're going to have all these spots open and talk about opening more spots for people just for the last two teams that get out and complain, we might as well have, like, spots open for a group of five teams.
Right.
I mean, I feel like if we're going to let everyone play the game, let them play.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not too – I'm honestly in defense of having spots for a group of five teams, not because, oh, they really deserve a spot. It's because I want to hold the NCAA CFP accountable because they say they want to do this. Then when it comes time to vote, they're hesitant to go for it. And the fans, it's probably good that fans don't get exactly what they want
because
what it's turning into is fan service. And it's good, like, sure, obviously you want your fans to be happy, but you got to realize who's in control. The NCAA, well, they're not. They're getting bullied right now.
Yeah.
Well, they're not standing up for themselves. CFP's barely doing that. Then we've got college basketball. No one asks for college basketball. The tournament expanded. Sure, the main thing isn't expanding. It's like the first four, first eight, first whatever. But, like, I feel like we're making changes and not really thinking about it. What do you think?
Yeah, we definitely need kind of a – I know we've talked about it, or a lot of people have talked about it, but we need, like, somebody to take charge of the NCAA, like some kind of commissioner or something just because, yeah, like you said, the NCAA is getting punked by everybody. I mean, people are doing whatever they want. Like, whenever Charles Bediako was playing, it's like, yeah, sure, dude playing in the NBA, now he's playing in college. Like, first of all, I mean, Roll Tide, which he would have finished the year that he would have been great against Michigan, but – you shouldn't be able to do that. I mean, and like the dude from Baylor too.
Nobody I was going to talk to him.
Yeah, nobody talks about him.
Let me
except
tell you.
Us. But
I say, yeah, if it's Alabama doing it, they don't like it. It just surprises me. Anything we do, what is it about the University of Alabama? What is it about the crimson and white? What is it about the elephant, man? What is it about the houndstooth?
Man, people just love to hate. I mean, I feel like we are the empire. I mean, if we're use a little Star Wars analogy, I mean, we're the empire. We're the big bad guys. But, yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't see it. I guess the education or whatever, the agenda, the propaganda I've been fed all my life is kicking in because I don't think we're the villains. I just – people want to be us.
That's right.
Feels great to be a king. That's all I got to say.
Hey, amen. That's right.
And when we come back to the break, got more sports coming your way after the break.
Hi, this is Stella from Stella and the Very Mast. You're listening to WVUA. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Our little final little leg of student section. Man, oh man, it's been quite a week, JD. I'm gonna be completely honest. Been busy, man. How have you been handling college, man?
Handling, yes. I mean, trying to thrive, but kind of settling for surviving right now. But yeah, the plane is definitely landing. The wheels are out. I can tell. I mean, everybody is ready to be done, and mm-hmm. I consider myself in the everybody group. Yeah, can't wait for summer, bro.
Oh yeah, you're already knowing. But before we get ourselves too excited for the summer, we got to talk about some NBA action.
NBA,
some heat in the spring. Speaking of the Heat. They made the play-in. They're locked in their spot for the play-in. And, I mean, this is going to be an interesting one because the West is already set. OKC, number one. San Antonio, two. Denver, three. Lakers, four. But I don't know. They've been dealing with some injuries, man.
Boy, no Luka, no Austin Reeves. That's, I mean, they're two big Caucasian stars now, man. I don't think, especially going to – I know the Rockets have been kind of trending upwards mm-hmm. lately too. And
you think they'll sneak past them?
If the Lakers play the – you're talking about the Rockets?
I'm talking about like before the playoff.
Before the playoff.
Because they're both tied at 51 and 29 in the record.
How many games are left?
I mean, one or two left. I mean, really legit end of the season.
I mean, I think so, honestly. But then in that case, they'll just flip and then they'll just start the series in Houston instead of L.A. But, yeah, I feel like the Lakers, I mean, even without Doncic and Reeves, they've still been playing pretty good.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, with the West all set, I mean, the East is still up for grabs. I mean, we've got – they're fighting to stay out of the play-in. Charlotte, Philadelphia, Orlando, Atlanta, Toronto. Who do you think are going to be the two teams that escape the play-in?
That escape the play-in. Let's see. You got that seven seed, bro. Ooh. I mean, it really is close.
Tight.
I haven't actually sat down and looked at this. I mean, yeah, it's speechless right now. I got a feeling about the Raptors. I don't know. Something the Canadian teams, they always seem to trend. And by Canadian teams, I mean team because there's only one. Don't worry. I know that. Hey, I mean, something about the Hornets, too. I mean, mm-hmm. if I had to pick an NBA team, I would say I'm somewhat of a Hornets guy. I grew up in Irmo, South Carolina, which is Hornets country. So, I mean, and I got a feeling about the Hornets, man. Shout out to Brandon Miller, Roll Tide.
Yep. LaMelo Ball as well. I mean,
LaMelo Ball.
The Hornets, man, I feel like they might end up being in the play-in, but I feel like they're going to be a playoff threat, though. Mm-hmm. That might be a dark – I think they're my dark horse contender for the playoff – well, yeah, playoffs, if they get passed in the play-in.
Indubitably.
But we also got to talk about the MVP race. Man, oh, man, is it heating up. I mean – the players actually did a poll, and guess who they voted?
Who did they vote?
They voted Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Mm.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, he's won back-to-back, right?
Or he just won one.
He's won one? Okay. Well, but, I mean, still, he's really come on. I mean, I feel like all the guys right now sitting in the top five, like Victor, Wembanyama, Shai Gilgeous, Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, they all deserve it. Although, I feel like we keep seeing the same, like, four or five names every year in the MVP race for the mm-hmm. NBA, which I know they're good, but like, really? Like, I mean, can we see a little more variety? But I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's currently the best player on the best team in the NBA. I mean, mm-hmm. the Thunder 64-16. I mean,
yeah, hard to argue against, but I'm more of a Victor Wembanyama kind of guy. Dude's a freak. If you watching him play, it's a spectacle. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. He is our generation's Wilt Chamberlain. What the people back then were talking about Wilt being doing, he's doing it right now as we speak.
Yep.
I mean, this is going to be a bold take, but I think Victor Wembanyama can not only score 100, score more than 100. I feel like at max 120 points in the game.
Ooh, 120. Oh, hold up now.
He can shoot. Have you seen him shoot the three?
I have seen him shoot
no
the three.
No one can block him.
But 120.
It can be done. Trust me. If Bam Adebayo can score 83 points. The sky is the limit.
Got to play the Wizards, bro.
Exactly. That's all you need. Yep. Play the Wizards. Play some bummy team. Have a knot that you're hot. It can be done, especially Victor. Victor can do that. I feel like we might not get 120, but I guarantee you by the end of his career, he will have an 100-point game. I'm calling it right now.
Call it right now.
Calling it right
now.
I like it. Signed, sealed, delivered, stamped.
Bang. Also, I mean, I'm just looking at the MVP race. I see that the top four guys, I see Jaylen Brown's currently sitting in fifth, according to this, but top four guys are not from the United States of America. All international guys. Yep. I know SGA's from Canada. That's still international, technically. But as the United States of America, the country where basketball originated, shout out to James Naismith, dude invented it. Like, I feel like we got to do something, because right now the game is getting taken over by the world. The foreign nations are staking their claim in our sport, in a sport America invented. Like, I don't know, but like, whatever they're doing over there is working. I don't know, like, are you as concerned with this as I am?
It is a little disappointing to see that our college, the best of our college players, aren't producing. I mean, sure, Shea technically, because he went to Kentucky, but he's Canadian. Like, you can't take that away from him. But I just feel like the NCAA's definitely got their hand in the bag in this situation, because I don't know. I guess it's death taxes and the NCAA getting involved.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got one-and-done situations. We're not developing like other countries are doing. That's the problem. We're just like, here's your money, here you go. Which, I mean, I do see, like, with NIL, one good thing about it is they're retaining players. They're giving them a reason to stick around. Because I guarantee you, NIL, all that, you're making a lot more money in college than you will with that first paycheck, your rookie paycheck. Because rookies don't – I mean, unless you're, like, a big dog first round, like, first half of the first round, you're not getting a great rookie contract. If you're, like, a second-round guy, even late first-rounder, I mean, let alone be an undrafted free agent. Like, sure, we see all the big ballers in the NBA. We assume they have money. I mean, many of them do. But the lower-end guys, they got to get a second job. That's how serious it is, because they're so underpaid. But also, in other countries, they have more – into it, you know what I mean? They have more passion for it, because for some of them, it's all they got. I mean, that's any true. Of us in America, just you'll join the high school basketball team if we're good enough, enough. But if you go to other countries, they have the heart and passion for it.
That's right. That was the focus, kind of like you were saying, development. They develop their players, focus on the fundamentals a lot. So,
here we're just, if you're tall, look good, can dribble the ball decently enough, we'll throw a band at you.
Yeah, everybody's trying to get the huddle highlights, man.
Yep. But hey, man, it's a changing world. That's all I gotta say. It is a changing world.
Yep, changing world for sure.
But I mean, our next topic is, let's get down to some Masters, man. What's been going on in golf,
bro? I tell you what, Rory McIlroy, dude who won the green jacket last year, he's looking like he's about to win it again.
Oh, he's balling.
Balling. I mean, especially the way he's finished both days, absolutely incredible. Today he finished, I think, four straight birdies. Had a chip in on 17. That was just absolutely phenomenal. Shot a 65 today, which, to put it in English for those of you guys, that means it's pretty good. But he's currently six strokes ahead of the guy in second, Sam Burns. Mm. So, I mean, we still have a lot of golf to play. And Rory is notorious for choking big-time leads.
Yes,
like this.
He is. He is known for that. But I do feel like Rory, he'll be fine. I think he's got this in the bag. He'll go back-to-back.
Bro, I don't know, man. Dude.
He's a choker. I know he's a choker. But honestly, I'm feeling him this go-round.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does kind of feel like a new Rory, but I mean, somebody keep an eye on Justin Rose, the ageless wonder. I know currently he's seven strokes back. However, the way he finished today, I'm just saying.
All right,
just saying.
I mean, there's tons of. I mean, it's the Masters, so there's a lot of them, and they're just, man, it's just, I don't know. I mean, Rory's got a great league now, but I mean, everyone below, they're all fighting for their spots. They're like 6 under, 6 under, 5 under, 5 under. It's real. It's going to be a close one if Rory chokes, man. That's all I got to say.
Absolutely.
If Rory slips up, has a bad day, man, but it's golf, man. It's you really never know what goes on, man, until it actually happens.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple guys who, I mean, a lot of people are saying John Rahm was really going to absolutely tear it up, but currently he's sitting at 4 over, just barely made the cut, so womp womp. Him and Bryson DeChambeau, I think DeChambeau actually missed the cut. So the live golfers not really showing out today.
Yeah, man, interesting. But as we come to the close of our show, you know what we have to do. Our predictions. What brings us to Alabama baseball. Now, we're going to do a little different. How do you think this series is going to pan out? Series record.
This series, well, at home, Arkansas is a great team. However, so is Alabama. The way we've been playing. Devin, get out the broom, man.
Ooh, you're saying
calling
sweep.
A sweep.
Calling a sweep, bro.
Yep. I mean, let me double check the score for tonight real quick because I don't want to get too heavy.
But I say, you're very overconfident.
Yes, quite. Extremely
Arkansas, overconfident. That's a team, man.
Yeah.
If we beat Arkansas, man, that we're doing some serious damage. Serious damage.
Serious, yeah. Get out of the broom, man. Get out of the broom.
This is sweet. How's the score looking?
I couldn't find it.
But you're saying, all
right. That's right.
But, yeah, definitely. I could see us doing it. We definitely have the squad to do it. But I don't know. I just feel like we're going to drop a game because we're just going to be a bad pitching day, bad day on the mountain, which happens.
Respect.
But we're still taking that series. You already know. So I'm saying 2-1. We may drop. I feel like Sunday's like a slump day.
Sunday does feel like a very droppable day.
Yeah. But with that, end of our show, JD. Didn't it feel good to be back?
Feels great to be back, Devin.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so proud to have you. It's my co-host. It's all my listeners out there, our listeners. We thank you for listening for us for an hour, man. Just talking sports.
Man.
You're two homeboys talking sports. What more could you ask for?
That's right. I feel like, we only have like 2 or 3 more shows left. Mm-hmm. So y'all better enjoy us while it lasts.
Oh, yeah. We won't be here for long. But we will be here next week. Same time, same station. Roll Tide.